Good morning. My name is Kevin Carlisle, and I'm the minister at the First Christian Church in Vancouver, Washington. And this morning, we're going to talk about Gideon. He's an Old Testament character, and the story comes from Judges chapter 6 and 7, and I'll be reading starting with verse 11 and going through verse 24. This is called The Call of Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites. I have found favor if I," and he said to him, "If I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from the ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot. And he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God just said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock, and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the meat and unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock, and consumed the meat and unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. I love this story because it's the call of a man named Gideon, who's just an ordinary person. And he doesn't really believe in himself at this point. He's an Abiezrite, if I can pronounce that. And that's somebody who's of a clan by that name. And they belong to the tribe of Manasseh. Remember, there's 12 tribes of Israel, and that was one of the tribes. And he sees himself as the least in his father's house. They're poor. And all of Israel, for the last 7 years, have been oppressed and beat down by these nomadic tribes, the Midianites and the Amalekites. They are very big, forceful tribes of people who are Bedouin in nature. They travel around and then they just kind of swoop in and take all of the goods when they're least expected. Oftentimes at the beginning of a harvest, after all of the fruits for the harvest have been developed and they're ready to be harvested, these tribes would come in and take it, take them all. And the Israelites were the opposite of how they'd been when they first entered that land. They conquered these people with Joshua and set up a very awesome place to live, and they worshiped the Lord. And over time, something had slipped. They quit believing and they started compromising and Baal worshiping, and the Ashtoreth, which is the female version of Baal, were the prevailing gods of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And these gods, you can see statues of them if you Google, and you can read about them in all throughout Scripture. And there was a lot of rituals around them and horrible things, very despicable things, even child sacrifice. And just how far people went with these idols, how far the children of Israel went with these idols, we don't know. But we do know, if you go back to verse 1, that they started participating in things that the Lord thought was evil. They did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Child sacrifice is horrible. They kind of lost their grip on who they were and the purposes of life. They were living in caves that they just would dig out in the side of the hills. It's a sad picture. It's a sad picture. And we read that they started to cry out to the Lord because of the oppression. I mean, their lives were just miserable. And even though they had compromise in their lives with these idols and doing, who knows what to these idols, with these idols, for these idols, trying to get some favor somehow, the Lord heard their cry. And see, that's the thing that I just love about Jesus when I read about him in the New Testament, is he's always meeting everybody where they're at. And he's always attentive to a heart that is seeking him, to a heart that is hungry for God, to a heart that wants to say yes to his love. And I think that's what happened here. I think Gideon, he didn't realize it, but he had that kind of a heart. And he was just, doing what everybody was doing, trying to get some food. And when you'd winnow wheat, you'd take that fork and you'd try to be uphill, and you'd throw the wheat up into the air, and the chaff would get blown away and the grain would fall to the ground. But he couldn't do that in the best place for the wind, which was a high place, because then he'd be seen by the Midianites. So he's down in a lower place, which is a wine press. And it must have taken extra long to get the grain to separate from the chaff, because there's not a lot of wind underneath a wine press. And while he's hiding here, and he's obviously, a man who would have been a soldier, because he became a soldier, so he's a strong person, I would imagine, and physically impressive, but he's hiding. He can't take on all these Midianites or Amalekites by himself. And so he's doing what everybody else is doing. He's been beaten down. He's forgotten his faith. He never maybe really learned about it, or what he did learn seemed so different than what he was experiencing. And so this angel shows up. He doesn't even know for sure it's an angel himself, and calls him a valiant warrior. Now, I don't think that angel was being mean when he said that. Some people would say, well, yeah, boy, that's really sarcastic, because he was anything but valiant. But I do think that angel was seeing him through eyes of grace. He was seeing Gideon the way God meant for him to be, and God created him to be a valiant warrior. That's who God created him to be. I love that promise in Isaiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good and not evil. See, the Lord had good plans for Gideon, and he's got good plans for you and for me. And for all we meet, the Lord, his heart is for good for each one of us. And we say, well, I don't feel close to the Lord. That's what Gideon said to this angel. He said, you know, I'm not close to the Lord, and I'm the least of everybody in my father's household and of our tribe. And I certainly don't see myself as a valiant warrior. He says, if what you're saying is true, that God is with me, then why has all this happened to God's people the last 7 years? Why have we been victimized over and over and over again? And people have decided to compromise and move into other superstitions and beliefs that are far from you. So why are you here? I don't understand it. And this angel just keeps speaking good into his life, just keeps being solid and telling him of God's plan. And finally, Gideon decides he needs to give this man a gift. And he says, don't leave. I want to give you a gift. And he goes in and he prepares some meat and some gravy. This is all my paraphrase. And some unleavened bread. And he brings it out, and the angel says, why don't you put that on that rock over there and then pour the gravy on top. And so that's what he does. And the angel of the Lord takes his staff and he touches it, and it bursts into flame like an offering. And then he disappears. And Gideon's like, oh my goodness, I think I've just seen a sign that this really was God. This was the actual angel of the Lord. And now I'm in trouble. I'm going to die. And then he hears the Lord speak. And the Lord says, peace. That's the one word he says is peace. And he says, you're not going to die. And he tells him to go to his father's house and to tear down the altar to Baal, and tear down the wooden altar to the Ashtoreth. And he tells him to take the bull and the seven-year-old bull, there's two bulls, and to sacrifice them on that altar as unto the Lord. This is all later in the scripture. We didn't read this part, but I want to tell you about it, because his father, Gideon's father, it was his altar to Baal that Gideon tore down. Gideon did this at night, and the neighbors, they come out and some of the Midianites, and they say, what have you done tearing down this altar? And his father says, he takes a stand for Gideon and he says, if Baal needs your defending, this is again my paraphrase, then is he really real? Why don't you let Baal defend himself? Brilliant, really. But he takes a stand with his son on tearing down this altar. You know, we all have strongholds in our life. You know, the Bible says that these Old Testament stories are analogies for us to apply to the spiritual battles that we have. A lot of what we're facing are spiritual strongholds, mental beliefs and limitations. And a lot of times they are within a whole family. You know, maybe the whole family suffered from low self-esteem. And when Gideon's father sees Gideon take a stand back to the faith and says, we're not going to participate in what this idol represents, and we're returning to our faith, his father was inspired, and he took a stand with him. I love that song. It says, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. It's an old song. But Gideon, he was God's spark, and it got the fire going. And his father was an added spark, and pretty soon, it was a spark that went all throughout the country, all throughout the land. And if you continue to read the story, it's pretty amazing what happens. But at one point, Gideon has 132,000 soldiers from Israel that are willing to fight the Midianites and the Amalekites with him. God ends up whittling it down to 300. It is miraculous how he defeats the Midianites and the Amalekites. But the point is, God has not abandoned us in these pandemic times. And we need to be careful about the mindset that we can settle into. We need to fill ourselves with the mindset of the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about. The kingdom that's about his love. The kingdom that says everyone we meet is our neighbor. And we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And that means we're to get to know people, really get to know them and care about them. And in that relationship, let a spark start. The spark that creates the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is more contagious than the pandemic. And it flourishes when we allow it to spark. God wants to spark in our lives. God has not given up God's plans for each one of us. Plans of good and not for evil. God has a plan for each one of us. And it involves his hope and his love, and especially his peace. Do you know how amazing it is to have peace in our world right now? To not live in fear, but to live in peace, his peace. That one word he spoke to Gideon, I'm saying he's speaking it to you and to me right now. Peace. And he's also calling us to have courage. See that word valiant, you know, he was telling Gideon, you're courageous. You're a valiant warrior. That's who God made you to be. There's nothing that makes us more courageous than the love of God. I want to encourage us this morning. I want us to hear the Lord speaking peace to us and speaking his plans to us. The Lord is with you. The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. You and God are a majority. If you don't feel close to God, the Bible says, draw near. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You'll find out that God never moved. Somebody once said, you know, if you don't feel close to God, who moved? It was us. And it's always wonderful to know that He's welcoming us, always, to come back to faith and to hope and to peace and to love and to help make His kingdom happen. It only takes a spark, His spark of love and peace. God bless you.